Ramayan Ayodhya Kanda, Part 7. The next morning, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman set out again. After walking some distance, they reached the confluence of the Ganga and Yamuna rivers. Desiring to meet the great Rishi Bharadwaj, Ram approached his ashram and waited outside for permission to enter. Soon, a disciple of the great Rishi came to meet Ram, escorting him inside. Ram then saw Bharadwaj sitting in meditation, surrounded by many disciples. Ram introduced himself and then related the events surrounding his coming to the forest. Thereafter, Bharadwaj offered Ram, Sita, and Lakshman a nice reception and served them many varieties of foods prepared from roots and fruits. The Rishi then offered them comfortable accommodations. O Ram, I have been expecting your arrival ever since hearing of your exile, and I wish that you would spend the 14 years here peacefully in my ashram. With my students at your disposal, you would not be inconvenienced. O best of Rishis, your offer is very kind. However, if I were to reside here, I fear many people would come to see me, since your ashram is so close to Ayodhya. Therefore, please tell me of an isolated spot where I can stay in order to fulfill my vow of forest life. O Ram, you should go to the Chitrakuta mountain, which is some 60 miles from here. After crossing the river Yamuna, look for the giant banyan tree named Shyam. Then you will know that you are proceeding in the right direction. The entire Chitrakuta area is beautifully situated with cascading waterfalls and meandering streams. The cries of peacocks and cuckoos will enchant your ears, and everywhere there is plenty of fruit and honey. Just like the heavenly Gandhamadana Hill, Chitrakuta is a most suitable place for leading a life perfectly in the mode of goodness. And after spending the night at the ashram of Bharadwaj, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman took leave of the Rishi and then departed. Later in the day, on the banks of the Yamuna, Ram and Lakshman prepared a large raft for crossing the river. Upon reaching midstream, Sita offered prayers to Goddess Kalindi. After reaching the far shore, they soon came to the banyan tree named Shyam. Sita offered respectful obeisances to the sacred tree and prayed for their safe return to Ayodhya. Then, after waiting for some time, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman passed the night on the bank of the Yamuna. The next morning they resumed their journey, and while walking through the forest, Sita questioned Ram about all the varieties of plants and trees that they were encountering along the way. With Lakshman walking in front and bow in hand, Ram took great pleasure in describing the wonders of nature surrounding them. In this way, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman finally approached the vicinity of Chitrakuta Hill, where they were pleased to find an abundance of fruit, roots, sweet water, and honey. And when they came to the ashram of Valmiki, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman were happily received by that illustrious Rishi. Being invited to reside there, Ram ordered Lakshman to bring some logs and construct a small cottage. Thus, within a short time, Lakshman had built a nice residence with walls of wooden stakes and a thatched roof. Upon Ram's request, Lakshman performed the customary sacrifices to the devatas for consecrating their new dwelling. And when Ram entered the new cottage, he became happy, leaving aside the grief brought about by their exile. Meanwhile, After the departure of Ram, Guha had dispatched spies to observe Ram without being noticed. When they sent news that Ram had reached Chitrakuta, Sumantra mounted his chariot in order to begin his painful journey back to Ayodhya. After 2 days, Sumantra arrived in Ayodhya in the evening and saw that the city had become nearly desolate. Everyone was deeply grieving due to separation from Ram. But then, as word spread of Sumantra's return, thousands of citizens came forward out into the street and crowded around Sumantra. They were hoping to hear some news of their beloved prince, and they anxiously waited for Sumantra to speak. And in reply to their anxious inquiries, Sumantra explained, "The lotus-eyed Ram has sent me back after reaching the banks of the Ganga. Not allowing me to escort him any further, Ram now journeys by foot throughout the forest along with Sita and Lakshman." Realizing that the Lord was not returning, some of the citizens fainted while others wept. "Because we cannot see Lord Ram, we are all condemned. Alas, we have lost him. But we can never forget how Ram used to glance at us affectionately and speak to us so lovingly. When will we ever see Ram again?" Thus, the people were grief-stricken as they recalled how Ram used to tend to their welfare, just as a father looks after his children. Sumantra then entered the royal palace to see the afflicted Dasharath and relay Ram's messages to him. Hearing Sumantra speak of Ram, the king immediately fainted from feelings of separation. Trying to assist her husband, Kaushalya also swooned and likewise had to be helped. Before Sumantra could even speak, Kaushalya said, "O king, why are you now lamenting? For it was you who so unkindly banished your own son to the forest. Indeed, you value truth more than your own son, in whom all truth resides. Arise, O king, lest your followers begin to doubt the wisdom of your actions. And if you continue to lament, your subjects will perish in the fire of separation from Lord Ram." Lashed by the sharp words of Kaushalya, the king came to his senses. Dasharath then said, "O Sumantra, please fully describe whatever Ram has said while departing. Where is he now living? What is he eating? For all these years, he had been accustomed to luxury. How has delicate Sita been able to live in the forest atmosphere? Surely her frail body cannot bear the scratch of a thorn or the scorching heat of the sun. And how is my beloved son Lakshman? What are his austerities? What is he eating? Have they sent me any message? O Sumantra, I can only survive on the strength of your reply." Sumantra knew well that Dasharath's life could only be sustained by hearing about Ram. Thus, he began to speak as follows. "At the time of our parting, Ram instructed me to return to Ayodhya to render service unto you and Bharat. Ram's only concern is for your welfare, and thus he wants to ensure that your promise to Kaikeyi is fulfilled. He also requested that I inform Kaushalya that Ram is faring well. O Kaushalya, your son has requested that you remain constantly devoted to righteousness and worship the lotus feet of your husband, just as you would those of a deity. And moreover, Ram has asked that you shun the pride born of position and seniority and treat Queen Kaikeyi as your superior. And likewise, my king, Ram requests you to install Bharat as heir apparent to the throne without any delay. Even though young in years, Bharat is still a king and deserves to be honored. And Ram has also asked me to relay a message to his brother Bharat, begging that he should look upon Kaushalya and Sumitra just as he does his own mother. O Emperor Dasharath, I must inform you that poor Sita stands motionless, oblivious to everything, and just sighs. For she has never experienced adversity before, and she did not impart any message. And as I was about to leave, however, she looked at the royal chariot and suddenly burst into tears. After offering obeisances, I left, but my horses wandered, for they too were blinded with tears. O Emperor, as I returned to Ayodhya, I saw that every moving and non-moving creature within the coastal kingdom was in a pitiable condition due to separation from Ram. Overcome by intense separation, even trees, flowers, and fruits have all withered up from grief. The rivers and lakes have dried up. The forest animals do not even move about, nor do the reptiles search for food. In the ponds, lotus flowers and fish have perished. In the cities throughout your kingdom, the gardens are desolate, and birds that used to sing in those gardens have all fled. And moreover, seeing this chariot arrive without Ram, all the citizens have been cast into a dazed, almost unconscious condition. This stunned condition, exhibited by the citizens of Ayodhya, occurs whenever a devotee experiences ecstatic tribulation, fear, astonishment, lamentation, or anger on behalf of the Lord. And there are many instances of devotees becoming stunned when they thought that they had lost the Lord's association. For instance, during Lord Krishna's pastimes, the gopis or milkmaids of Vrindavan were frequently in a stunned condition, as well as the cowherd boys, elders, and cows were also stunned when they thought that Krishna was going to be killed by Kali, a serpent, or by some other demon. Such a condition is symptomized by the inability to speak, the cessation of movement, a feeling of voidness, and an extreme awareness of separation from the Supreme Lord. Such ecstatic emotions are relished by great devotees who have no material desires and who have surrendered everything to the Lord's lotus feet. Just like the residents of Vrindavan, the people of Ayodhya were stunned due to transcendental love.